There's only a few people here, but turn and give them a greeting this Sunday morning. God bless you. So good to see from you, or to see you. All right. Bless you guys. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Springtime in the Northland. I like it. Hallelujah. All right. Well, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's kind of interesting. He gave us opportunity by the word of the Lord to tell us that his word would call us to gather. I don't know, on a weekly basis or whatever, but they call us to gather so that we could hear the word of God and consider the word of God. You think about the old time prophetic words that have been given by old time, I don't know if they were old time, they were prophets of old. And powerful thought about being a prophet in those days. But you know what? God has given us all opportunities to have a prophetic word on our hearts. Amen. And that's what I love about it. He'll wake you up. If you believe, he will wake you up in the midnight hours and sometimes speak something to you and you're going, wow, God, I'm hearing you. I think that's the purpose of what he did on the cross, that we could hear from God, amen? And that Jesus was the mediator between man and God. And then Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. So the Holy Spirit wakes you up. That's my, will work with me a little bit. And he wakes you up and he starts speaking to you. Or maybe you're taking a walk at night. Sometimes you have to be something, doing something intentional or unintentional that you don't expect it to happen. And you're going, well, I shouldn't have expected God to talk to me. And all of a sudden he did. And I was thinking about the prophetic word that God has laid upon 2021. And I didn't, of course, I was reading this morning trying to get a hold of it. But it was about, for this is going to be a season where I give my people night visions, I give my people day visions, and I give my people dreams again. It is time to dream again, church. Okay, I like that. You took my dream away. No, I'm giving you a dream. Hallelujah. I declare 2021 is the season of the mourning. I'm bringing you out of mourning, out of weeping, out of grief, and I'm bringing you to the dawning of a new day. This is 2021. What is he going to do? He's bringing us to a dawning of a new day. Now, next week, I don't know if you're going to remember that, but what he said to us, he's bringing us to a dawning of a new day. And so everything that we know up to this point, it's like we're going to have a new day and he's going to give us more information that we've never heard before. And I really believe that in the days that we live in, especially the days that we live in, we need to hear from God. Amen. And when we hear from God, we get so excited because God still is in control of this whole mess. Sometimes we look at it, we're going, my goodness, what's going on? Well, God knows what's going on. Amen. And I love that. It's time to dream again. Hallelujah. I feel like right now the sun is beginning to rise and incense is beginning to come forth off the altar of worship. Did you feel it this morning? You know, there's something about worship. You just, you know, you're going, wow, this is very good. Innocence is being restored. Purity of heart is going to be the pivot point to this next season. I feel it right now taking place as you're reading this. God is pivoting our hearts. He's posturing our hearts in this season towards purity once again so that we can see the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe this is going to be a year of seeing the Lord, of feeling the Lord, of knowing the Lord more clearly than ever before. I receive that, Lord. I believe the Lord is saying that He is removing the cloud of confusion, depression, despair, and oppression of His people. I receive that, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we're getting a picture. And joy is coming once again. Joy is your position. Peace is your position. But do not mistake peace for comfort. For the Lord says, I didn't come to make you comfortable. I came to give you peace that passes all understanding. That in the day of trouble, in the day of these imperial times that have come upon us, that you would not faint, you would not hide, you would not run away, but you would know how to stand underneath the power of the peace that I put inside you. For the peace isn't a feeling, it's a person. His name is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Trust is not a feeling, it's not a thought, it's not a intellectual truth or as a person. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He's about ready to show up in every place of our lives. And I feel like the Lord said, I'm bringing healing to the streets. And I could go on, but I just really feel like, you know, you get the whole download and you can read it and then you can take it line upon line, precept upon precept. You can consider it. And it's like a whole year of sermons, preachings, directional for our lives. I appreciate that so much from God, huh? Yeah. The big thing is that if we believe it, are we going to do it? That would be one thing. We went fishing the other day, didn't we? My brother, Keith. You know, we had to talk about it once or twice, but it didn't take us very long to get out there. And you know what? He said, well, if I could just get a picture of myself ice fishing. I said, well, we're going to have some better proof in the pudding. We're going to catch ourselves some fish. And we did, and we were blessed. And I think that sometimes from the natural to the spiritual, we have to expect God to do something or He's really not a reality in our life. If we're going to go fishing, we're going to go fishing, you know, we're going to go catch fish. And if I can't catch them, I'll go to Red Lake and buy them and say I fished them. If I'm going deer hunting, I'm not going out there not to deer hunt. And if I don't get a deer, I can go to Red Lake and get a deer. No, I'm putting a bad rap on Red Lake, but you can buy a deer there if you want to. I've never bought a deer there. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. You know, come on. Does it get any better than this? I mean, we broke the 50 degree mark the other day. And today we're going to even break that. That's really, I mean, my brother, he broke the 90 degree mark in Zapata, Texas. And I said, rather you than me. You know, if we have two 90 degree days, you should see us here. Lord, send something. We don't usually ask for snow, but hallelujah. Well, we have an opportunity to sow into our
our week, and the next week with our tithes, our offerings, we have an opportunity. It's always an opportunity. He doesn't twist our arms, and if he did, it would only be good for you. Amen. So if you're making out a check, you can make it payable to the community church. God bless you in your giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You know, in the Northland, I was just talking with our precious sisters here. In the Northland, it's like when you know, the robins, they say always the first sign of spring. For me, when I hear the Canadian goose is when I know springtime has come. This morning, I heard the Canadian goose. Okay. And I know when I hear that, they're coming, they're going to be here for about 2 months, and they're going to be kind of almost a little annoying because they're fighting for the ladies and et cetera, et cetera. So today was the first morning I saw them and I heard them first.
Were they
so
on the river?
They were in the somewhere close, and then I saw them over the river today. So
like,
correct me if I'm wrong. But also in light of what you said, that I love the prophetic word. And what picture do you have for in your life? And encourage you to move towards that, because the kingdom of God is within. So whatever you see for yourself, and whatever sin so easily entangles you, that is stopping you in that attitude of your mind, say, you know what? No, I'm going to take that step forward. Do something in the physical.
Yes.
I want to catch a fish. Well, let's just go do something about that today. Yeah. I want to do something. Whatever your heart's desire is, that God's for you. He loves you so much. He wants to. His thoughts towards you, he says, are like the sands of the sea. So he's thinking so much he wants to download into you, but we're not sometimes, we have a religion, well, God doesn't want me to have that. He does want you to have that and more, because he's so good.
So good. Wow. I appreciate that so much, because, of course, when you're sharing and someone comes up in a prophetic vein and they share, it a lot of times will line up with what you've already has been placed in your mind. And I was thinking about, I didn't have this. This is Dave Wagner's prophetic words to the, I think maybe this is for the year, wasn't it? Yeah. And then we do have some prophetic words from him to the church and others. And it's interesting about the prophetic, if you line up others with each other, if anything, they're connecting together. You know, it's kind of like that road ends and now you're going down 75. And so you were on 32, now you're on 75. And sometimes that's the way the Lord gives us thoughts. Well, I really appreciate Jesus so very, very much. I appreciate that he's real. He's a God of reality. And when we look sometimes at the things around us, it's a deception that Satan would like to put on the realms of what it looks like. And God's saying, well, this is what it really looks like. And he'll try to put, that's why having a good attitude or a positive attitude to a negative attitude, your negative will usually go to yourself, maybe to the world, maybe to the flesh, but it'll end up with the devil and you saying, well, yeah, we agree on that. And sometimes that can go very quickly. You say, that child will never learn anything. Well, right there is kind of a negative statement, especially if it's your child and you're saying that child's never going to learn anything. That is not the best thought for your family, for the children that you're going to raise and the people that are around you. Because it's hard enough to bring up kids in a positive manner. And if you do not have a positive manner, you're not helping anything. So sometimes I do not say shut up anymore, because my grandson said that wasn't right. So I didn't say shout up to him. He just said, Grandpa, we don't say that. I said, yeah, no. All right. So anyway, I just really believe that God's alive. He's ready to do something today in our lives. I believe that God could speak to us out of the Word of God as we go into it. So there's a start and there's a finish. Amen. When God created Adam and Eve and planted them in the Garden of Eden, it was never his intention that they leave the garden. He wanted the garden to spread over the earth. Okay? You know, they got banished out of the garden. You know, what a bum deal, what a bum deal. But what really was the purpose of them living in the garden in the first place? Well, because it was so nice and it was so wonderful and that was so great. But we knew you were going to screw up, so we were going to kick you out. You know, that's not God. God had showed them a place that he was in complete control. And he said, if you would walk with me in the cool of the evening, I'll give you instruction for the next day, month, year. And I really believe that that's what Jesus come back to give us. Amen. He didn't leave us, oh, we're just out there, we're devil's bait, we're all of the horrible things that could ever happen to us could happen to us. And that's why we have to fight. Anyone like a fight? Yeah, I mean, when you call yourself a Christian and you're going to fight, you might end up in the paper saying, oh, they said they wanted a fight. Well, we don't want to fight flesh and blood. The Bible tells us that we don't fight flesh and blood, but we fight principalities and powers in high places. Now, if you really wanted to put a study into that, you could go to the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. And you would have a lot of information. Some of them might not be perfect, but it'd give you an idea that there are three heavens. And so we have to understand that the enemy wants to stop us in any way, shape, or form. Countries, nations, families, the enemy wants to stop us, but he cannot because we have too much information. Paul said, I'd have you not to be ignorant. And then, I mean, if you put it in some men's terms, I'd have you not be stupid. Stupid's going to get you in trouble. And now, I don't know what translation that is. Probably isn't one. And I'm not going to write it, so don't worry about that. Hallelujah. But he'd have us not to be ignorant. In other words, he'd have us to understand what he's wanting to do in this day ahead. When God created Adam and Eve and he planned, put them in the garden, remember that he had us to have a plan and a purpose of him in us. Okay? And so then Isaiah 11:9, it says, the earth will be filled of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. You know, how much knowledge is that? That's a lot of knowledge, man. He didn't say that it was, a couple puddles. He said it's like the knowledge will cover the earth like this, like the water covers the sea. That's pretty cool. If you ever go to the ocean or been at the ocean, you know the ocean is a pretty cool deal, especially when you started watching the waves come up and break and they stop there and they come up and they break and they stop there again. It's a powerful thing. And I like that they stop. If they were coming my way and I couldn't, I'd be running. I'd be on a run. But God knows what's going on. So we find out that in the scripture, God's working with us so that we would work with him. It's always his thought that working with God rather than God working or us working for God. Working with God instead of us working for God. Well, I'm working for God. I'm doing all these things. I told 10 people yesterday that Jesus is Lord, and I tried to bring them to the Lord, and I was going on a mission trip next week or year or 2 years from now. So sometimes we get the mentality that, hey, you know what? I'm working for God instead of working with God. God wants to work with us. Amen. You know, as a family business, growing up in a family business, I taught the family to work with Dad and with Mom. And most of them have worked at the daycare sometime or another, or at church sometime or another, because Mom, that was the family business. And then we run a concrete company, and all the boys, Jacob, I mean, you get him on a hand screed, that dude is fantastic. Now, you know, I'm the slave master on that deal. Jake, go ahead, pull. Frank, you remember that? So we get done with the job over in between Grand Forks and here. And the concrete truck driver was watching us, and I was telling Jake, okay, Jake, come on, let's pull. And he got all the way around, and he turned around, and he stepped in the fresh concrete. Okay, so I said, Jake, you stepped in the fresh concrete. And he goes, ho. And, of course, the lights went on for the truck driver, and he said, that guy's blind. I said, well, congratulations. You notice that. And so he went back and he got a hold of the TV, or he got a hold of the dispatcher that said that there was a blind man running the crew, concrete crew, out where we were at. I think it was right around Euclid. So a week later, we get TV cameras. You remember this, Frank? Well, we were up. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I know where it was at, but we're on a driveway. Bins are a little different because you really can't mess up too much. You're on the outside, but pulling on the inside with the... But here they come, and they took pictures of us for about 15 to 20 minutes and interviewed Jacob and myself. And I said, after all of these years, Jacob, you come on the job twice, and we're interviewed by TV cameras and this, that, and the other. You know, God has a sense of humor. And he can take the things that are very, very good and make it so much better. And you can tell that story to about anyone, and they go, I can relate with that. Hallelujah. So God's got it covered. It says the knowledge of the Lord, as the water covers the sea, that's how much God has given us in knowledge. So if we can't figure it out, it is not God's fault. All right? But we'll have to seek God, and we'll have to pray. And we've been talking about prayer on different times, especially myself. I'm fascinated now, and I've been a Christian for a long time, but I'm more fascinated with God and with prayer and with asking something and expecting to get something back. And you start seeing things coming back. Sometimes they don't look very good, but you know what? You have to work out the circumstance, right? You ever been there before? Besides just this morning working with your kids? Hallelujah. So when God created man, he wanted to share his authority. It was in the context of humanity relationship to him as offsprings. In other words, he didn't want just a bunch of people that didn't have a relationship with him, didn't understand who he was. You know, he was the wooey in the ghost in the clouds, you know, the Holy Ghost. No, God is God, and he wants to have fellowship with us, and he wants to have intimate communion with us. Amen?
Yes.
You know, we talk about that, and in any gift, whether it be praise and worship, whether it be prophecy, whether it be speaking in tongues, whether it have interpretation of tongues, you need to rely on God to give you that information. True communication with him in oneness. Now, if he says something and you go, I don't believe that. Well, don't worry, it won't bother God any. He said, you just have to believe. And so maybe down the line, you catch it in 6 months. I remember being baptized, was going to be water baptized. Well, as a good Lutheran, I'd always been baptized. As a little baby, I was baptized. My mama told me I was baptized. My daddy told me I was baptized. But then when I started reading the word, he said, believe and be baptized. Well, I wasn't a believer, so my baptism really didn't give me much clout in the realm of the Spirit. It just said, okay. And then I started reading what baptism meant, and that you'd go down and you'd identify with the death, burial. And when you come out of the water, which we're celebrating Easter, when you come out of the water, you're a brand new creature in Christ. Yes. So you're believing something that has changed your life. And I went for a long time with my life not changed. But when God gets a hold of you and he just reveals himself a little bit, the knowledge that covers, you know, that covers the water covering the sea, that's how powerful God is. And you said, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. I like that, Lord. So then when God created man, he shared his authority that we would be offsprings. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm not a servant of the most. I'm a servant of the Most High God. Yes, we want to serve God because he knows what he's doing and wants to accomplish. You know, when my sons and daughters started something, they didn't get to the top run of what they were going into until they practiced, until they spent hours, a lot of times money. I mean, sending your kids to piano lessons or teaching your kids hour after hour, and that's good. It's wonderful, except it takes more than, oh, Lord, you're just going to do it. God will put the work ethic on the inside of this. Because God's not lazy, I can guarantee you that. And if you ever want to run a business, you should run it God's way and you'll prosper. Any other way, it's not going to be so good for you. So God didn't create men and women to be servants. Hallelujah, but sons and daughters of the Most High God. This was his plan for mankind from the beginning. He has always wanted his children to help him fulfill his purpose, his plan, his thoughts. He always wanted us to do that. Hallelujah. This means that God doesn't want man to work for him, but rather with him. The Bible says we are God's fellow workers. I'm a fellow worker of God. You know, if I would have said that to Adam, he would have, really? You know, I probably wasn't quite the fellow worker as God was to me, because God, anything we did, even if we didn't know how to do it, we went ahead and did it anyway, because what do? You know, yeah, I seen it done one time, but until you do it, then you go, and then after you do it, yeah, I did that one time. Then you do it twice, three times. You're going, I'm almost a professional. So when God starts bringing us into the realm of his Holy Spirit, into the realm of living on planet Earth, he wants to talk to us. He wants to guide us. He wants to give us information from above that's covering the earth like the water covers the sea. How much information? A lot of information. And what's so nice about it, you don't have to work too hard for it. Well, I'm going to have to study. Maybe. But your study, you know what you're going to find out? Because of who you are and how God made you, you're going to enjoy that study. You're going to enjoy that knowledge because you were meant for that day, that hour. He created you for that job and whatever that may be. I remember when the pastors would encourage us to prophesy. And I didn't even know what prophesy, you know, that could have been polishing shoes or something when he first said it. You should polish your shoes. No, he said you should prophesy. So I checked that prophecy stuff out, and I was listening to some other people, and they say, thus saith the Lord. And I thought that was cool. And so I practiced that for a while, and that worked pretty good. Thus saith the Lord. Now I had to have something to prophesy, if you're hearing what I'm saying. Man, I'm glad that I'm not Jake today. Oh, praise the Lord. So this means that God doesn't want man to work for him. He would rather have him work with him. The Bible says we are God's fellow workers, or workers together with him. Fellow workers means those who cooperate, who help with, who work together. Okay, so who are you working for? Who's your boss? Who's the one that really directs you here, there, and anywhere that you need to go? It should be God. And sometimes when you're saying, well, I got a job, I have to work. No, you have a job. Thank God for that. And you're going to have a chance to get to work today, and they're going to pay you for your labor. Praise the Lord. But so many times we'll take that and saying, well, I'd rather go fishing. And I would too. Now I'm getting to the age that I probably could do it for a long time. Maybe I'm going to be one of them professional Peters or James and be a professional fisherman. That's a fun time. But you know what? You can't fish all the time, especially if God didn't tell you to go fishing. And if he did tell you to go fishing, you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to lean back and say, praise God, this is my time. You know? And it's a funny thing about knowing God. When he came the very first time and asked me to accept him as my personal Savior, to just say, God, come into my life. Jesus, you know, the evangelist was talking about that. He went and he supersized my happy meal. When I walked out of there, I was going, man. I went home and told my wife, which she didn't believe, because I'd lied to her so many different times, I could just, well. But I said, I've changed. She said, proof's in the pudding. And so a week went by, a few days went by, and she noticed the change. And a week went by, and she noticed a little bit more change, that I was probably nicer to her. I was not a very nice person, but I was nicer to her. I was trying to raise my children in a little bit better manner. You know, tried to stay out of places that I shouldn't be going into and had the power to do so. You know, after a month, even the places where I used to go, they said, well, Jake's dead, talking to about me. Because I wasn't going in there anymore, being part of that part anymore. It was a change. Who changed me? God changed me. Was it hard? No, not really. Well, you're going to really have to work on that. I didn't. And after a year's time, I was so changed. If somebody from a year back didn't know who I was, they would have said, what in the world happened to that guy? And of course, they'd blame it on Jesus. Hallelujah. But you know what? It was God from heaven to earth. And was I a great prayer warrior? No. But he said, if I would accept Jesus into my heart, he would. That was like a prayer, right? It was a prayer. I asked Jesus to come into my life. Well, he wasn't going to leave me where I was. So he began to teach me and giving me understanding, like the water covering the land and the sea, covering earth. Hallelujah. And ever since that, it was always that God taught me. Now, did man teach you? Yeah. Absolutely. Fred Soaring was the best pastor I could have had at the time that I needed him for the year and a half when I was getting out of the world and into Christ, when I wasn't being deceived continuously by the enemy. And you know, a lot of people still walk in those realms, and our authority is over that enemy, right? I got authority. I got power from on high. And I have that much knowledge to go and to find and to understand and to pray. Because prayer is actually having God interfere with your earthly life and giving you heavenly thoughts to deal with your life. So you said, going, well, I don't think I'm going to go to the bar anymore. Ding, 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 ding. That was a heavenly thought. Because I said, all it does is usually I spend money like, we'd figured out how much you spend on cigarettes. And I was a snooze chewer, and that was 50 cents a container. And then I smoked cigars, and that was about a buck a box. That was way back when. And then I drank quite a bit, not too much so I could keep money so the wife could buy some food and different things like that. But sometimes it was like $2,000. In a year that you'd spend on your hang-ups. And $2,000 today, that's probably, you know, that's probably not too great. You're just enjoying yourself. I did, except on other people's expense. I had a car accident again in 1975. I busted every bone from here in my face. And I felt like I busted every bone in my body. I was paralyzed from my neck down. I went through all of those crazy deals that went on. I lost 50 pounds. My wife didn't have a husband that was capable or able to even take care of the kids, wondering if that we were ever going to see the light of day, if he would have been crippled for the rest of his life. But you know, even in those times, God was there. And his knowledge and his understanding in that he knew who I was and he knew that he wasn't going to let me get out of his hands. And I praise God for that. In the most worst time, I mean, no understanding whatsoever, God brought understanding. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. And Super Bowl Sunday, 1978, gave my life to Jesus Christ. And he always teaches you. Okay, he's into the teaching deal because he wants a good job done. You know what? If you go out and do a bad job, you usually don't have a job the next week or month or year. It's because you have to do a good job. And I find out when you get a hold of someone that can keep you on track to doing a good job, like Daddy, God, you're going to have some pretty good times ahead of you. Amen? So we're fellow workers, and we're cooperating, and we're helping with and working together. We should always think of humanity, the dominion, in the context of joint purpose. What's your purpose? I have a joint purpose with the God of heaven and earth. And you'd say, well, I don't know anything about that. Yes, you do. I said, you think that God would like you to raise godly children? Oh, I don't know. Hey, stop that. God would like you to raise godly children. And I didn't know anything about that except when I gave my life to Christ, God started dealing with my heart big time, started changing my priorities, started saying, hey, you're going to spend that and you're going to leave your kids and they're not even playing ball and you're doing what you're doing. Shame on you. I don't know if that was God. He didn't want to put any shame on me, but he was getting the point across. Hallelujah. God wants to teach us. God is teaching us. God is bringing us to this place called, you know, the kingdom of God for such a day as this. We should always think of, let's go. I was just thinking about this, working with God and working together with him. We should always have that place of having the joint understanding. Are you working for God? Are you working for God? Or are you working for Pastor Jake? Are you always working for Pastor Jake? Okay, why aren't you working for Pastor Jake?
Because you're not my boss.
That's what most people say, and even to the boss. I told my grandma that one time. That was not a smart thing to do. She was my boss. Yeah, Grandma Sophie. Quite the girl. Well, anyway, we just started looking at this thing. And so in thoughts, and I'm not going to drag this out, but we have to understand that, number one, can you answer yes? Can you say yes? And this, okay, you can't say yes. Jake, did anyone say yes yet? Jake, did anyone say yes yet? Well, Jake, can you say no? Are you here, Jake? What happened? Maybe I checked out here. Maybe I died. Hallelujah, I'm in heaven. Well, anyway, I'm just giving you a test that the test, every question is yes. Okay? Okay, so just in the number one is God our Heavenly Father?
Yes.
Okay. And you can shout it if you want to. I mean, don't worry. You know, the Baptists aren't going to come over and be jealous about us. Hallelujah. So did things change after you received Christ into your life?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to give you another opportunity.
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. So that was the first question. Second question, did God our Father start changing everything in your life after you accepted him?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember when you asked Jesus into your life? Are we having a salvation message here? I believe that you all should come and receive Jesus. I hope that we've done that by knowing you face to face. All right. So yeah. God changed things, everything in my life, and in a very short time. I mean, a very short time. That's knowledge from heaven. You say, well, everyone has that. No, not very many people have that. And when I read the scripture that the knowledge of the Lord is like the water covering the sea, not everyone knows that. And so many people say, really? And if we knew that, it would change our perspective every day when we're praying to the Master. Amen? Okay. Question number three. Was the experience from glory to glory?
Yes.
Okay, when you accepted Jesus into your life, was the experience from glory to glory? Okay, what if they would have persecuted? What if you lived in a country and they would have persecuted and actually chased you out of? Are we all right, everything? Okay, I thought maybe we had a... Okay, so from glory to glory, he's changing me. He's changing me. And if you, in 1 year's time, my wife couldn't believe it. And then I started going to church, and she didn't like me going to church all the time because I'd changed too much. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, hey, I can take a little change, but you can't change that much. And so then we would have discussions, well, how long do we have to be in church? Well, as long as we get as much as we can. And so we would start, I was a confirmation teacher at the Lutheran church. But after that, I would go to the church down the road, which was Christian Fellowship, Jim Herb's church, and they would have singers and people in there and singing country gospel and different things like that. And so I'd take the family down there, and we'd eat a fellowship dinner, and 4 hours later, we got home. So you can kind of understand Sandy's point. You know, you had to be a nut on that side. Now you're going to be a nut on the other side. Well, you're going to have to be a nut somewhere. He said that if you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. He didn't want you lukewarm. He wanted you hot or cold so he could discern what he's going to do with you in the days ahead. And other people, what other people are going to do with you. So praise God. He changes us from glory to glory. And it probably didn't, you'd say, well, what's glory? Well, when you changed, that's glorious. When you made a decision for Christ and Christ come into your life, that's glory coming into your life from heaven. And the interesting thing, just in that thought, the prayer power of that thought changed you. You say, well, I didn't pray about it. Yes, you did. If it come through, you're going, oh, I changed there. And after a year and a half, there's probably 500-600 things that changed in your life. You know, maybe things that you don't even realize changed. It flat changed because God had that type of knowledge on the earth that covers the whole earth like the water of the seas. Wow! This isn't going to be so hard. I hope I can pass the test. Don't worry. If you're in there, you pass the test in flying colors. Amen? You say, well, I don't know if I'm smart enough. Don't worry about your smartness. Just don't be too smart and rely on the Lord. Amen? How about praise and worship? It's all right. I can take it or leave it. Is that what the Bible teaches us? No. And of course, because we have a church that we can come and we got great praise and worship and the singers are singing and the dancers are dancing and we're doing all that, it's great. But where did you get that revelation? You know, the very first time I walked into church, I thought they were all nuts. I remember having them up at Super Bowl Sunday, that Sunday game of life to the Lord. There was about 5 or 6 Christians way up on top of the, in the gymnasium, and they all had their hands lifted up in the air. I'm looking up there and I'm going, I wonder what they're all about. And I thought maybe they'd come from a group home or something. I didn't know. I thought they'd come from a group home because it was only that bunch up there. So I said, well, the group home deal, that is what I was figuring out at least. You talk about having no knowledge of God covering the earth. Oh, I love it. And you know, the funny thing about it, that's how simple it is to serve the Lord. If you have a heart to say, God, change me. God, show me the right way. This is the time. Show me how to raise my sons, my daughters. Show me how to love my wife. Show me how I'm supposed to act on the job. Show me how I'm supposed to treat my boss or any authority that's over me. Not, you know, I mean, he tells us to pray for our leadership. Well, not Biden. Well, he didn't tell you. I didn't read that in the Bible, right? He said, pray for your leadership naturally and spiritually, okay? So how do I pray? With understanding that he does not know what I know, and my knowledge came from God. So when I pray, something's going to happen in that man's life or that woman's life or in that country's life. And I just go, they don't have a chance. We win, they lose, that settles it. Praise God. Take that back to hell, devil. That's funny. I don't care what you say. All right, so here we are. We got another question. Did God show you the way? Did God show you the way? Yeah, he showed us the way. I mean, I didn't come up with all this stuff. Somebody didn't come over and live with me. I gave my life to Christ. I didn't know a person in that place. I knew Scott Eiley. He worked for me, and he was a Christian. And he got me there. He invited me there. And you know what? For some reason, we had jobs in the middle of the winter for concrete work. Don't you think that God wasn't after me? And so here we are, we're working together, and he'd be down in the basement singing, you know, oh, do Lord, do remember me, oh, do Lord, do remember me. And I'd be going, that's a cool little song. And then he'd sing another little song, and then I had a guy that I was working with at that time. I said, boy, I don't know what that guy has down there in the basement, but boy, I could use some of that. And so, you know, 3 weeks later, I gave my life to Christ. You know, that was my prayer. I could use some of that. Well, I tell you what, God come down and the lightning come down and he spoke out of the mountain and I feared and I fell on the ground and I thought he was going to kill me. Hallelujah. No, he just said, hey, that's the desire of your heart. You want to be good, except you can't be good because you don't know the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And so this isn't so hard. It's like falling off a rock, if that's too hard for you, you know, just sudden rock fall off. Hallelujah. I can do that. Jake and myself went fishing a little while back, and we fell off the rock, from the ice to the rock. You remember that, Jake? I tested it out first. I told Jake, you don't want to come this way. So then the last question, that was all yes questions. The last question, is he still controlling your life today?
Yes.
I'm going to have to hear a little louder on that.
Yes.
Is he still controlling your life today? Hallelujah. He's still controlling my life today. Jesus is in control of my life. Do you know how that makes people nervous? Jesus makes a difference. Oh, I don't know if he'd make a difference in our political landscape today. Jesus makes the difference. And God Almighty, who we put on the dollar bill 100 and 150 years ago, you better fight with them, because I didn't put it on there. You did with your gang, whether they were Democrats or Republicans. You put it on there. In God we trust. One nation under God. That was a prayer, man. It hasn't left America. It hasn't left the world that we live in. In God we trust. One nation under God, we trust it.
Yes.
And they can argue until the cows and the pigs and the dogs come home. But you know what? Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he's ready to do what he needs to do in 2021 and beyond. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Can we do it with him? Are we laborers with him? We certainly are. And you know what? We could start out very easily. Well, I'm going to have to pray and we have to read your Bible. You have to do this. You have to do that. He didn't tell you to do that. He said, follow me.
Yes.
Follow me. And I think reading the Bible is so easy these days. If you have a cell phone, you can just press the button and for 15 minutes, it'll read to you. And you can do that for 15-minute reading and you get through the Bible in 1 year. That's pretty easy. Being that the word is above his name. Okay. We could preach on that. That's a sermon over there. But the word is more powerful than his name. And his name is above all names. So when you get that Bible, you start reading. Power, power, wonder working power. I like the oil companies. They give me power for my pickups and my loaders. But they don't have the power like Jesus is the power. Amen. I like the electrical grids that give me power. But they don't have the power like we have in Jesus' name. And the knowledge that came for putting this whole thing up and figuring out your computers, and Jeremy has this beautiful deal. He has my sermon. That's why I read my sermon off of that. No, that's not true. But anyway, at least I told the truth after I lied. So anyway, we have to understand that the knowledge of the Lord has given us all of these things. You know, from your cell phones to all of the information, it was from God. And don't think the devil gave you much of anything except poverty. He's given you, he came to rob, kill, and destroy. His job description has never changed. So why in the world would we ever do anything to edify or build him up in any way? The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. I think that was an Old Testament Zerubbabel. Maybe not. Well, I know it's in the Old Testament, and I can find it if I need to. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. I kind of like that. Then I don't have to get in between them two. Because somebody's going to get beat up, and it ain't going to be God. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you please stand? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Jacob, are you excited about Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Can we give a shout, Jake? Give me a J. Come on, guys. Work with him a little. Give me an E. Give me an S. Give me a U. Give me an S.
Yes.
What does that spell? How much power does he have? All power. And you know what? I can get that in the word too. Shout on to the Lord, right?
Yes.
So if you're shouting, you just as well shout something that he understands too. You know. All right. Any testimony right now? God, do something. If you have one, you can run up here and you can shout it out if you want. Please. Yeah, Dave, you go ahead and get that. Yeah, oh, I love it, man.
I was helping my son move. He's moved into a new home they had built, but there's mud all around, you know. And it's like, oh, great time to be moved. Yeah, exactly. So I was looking for some pallets, and I knew there was some out of town. They were sort of beat up, but I thought I'd run out that way. So I was driving with the truck, and I noticed out of the side of my eye right here in town a bunch of pallets. And the little voice says, why don't you go ask them for some pallets? So I pull around and ask, mind if I take some of these pallets? Nah, take all you want. And as it turns out, I was carrying on this conversation with this young man. The gentleman that built my son's house is a Christian, goes to a church here in town.
Oh, right.
And the young man says, oh, I know him. I go to the same church. So then there is even more favor. But he was getting ready to go down with three other men down to Louisiana to do some work for that big storm that went through as a testimony to Christ. So I had a chance to pray with him. So we got all the pallets we needed, and we didn't have to drive so far, being me. And we also had an opportunity to pray with the brother getting ready to do something for Jesus. So it was a great day.
Did you know that before you left?
No, I just was going. No. It's so important to listen to the voice and to tune our ear and to just instantly obey. I could have reasoned, well, why would I go there? I already know if I drive out of town, and I don't know these people. And I never saw those pallets, but the Lord caused my eye to catch them off to the side. And so, you know, I believe the Lord wants to bless us, but we have to instantly respond to where he directs us. So
yeah,
that's
so
my testimony.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. I do want to say that, like I said, we were going to go. I started fishing this year, just this year. And I have fished in some very, very great places, but it takes a license, and then you can fish. But I bought a fishing license, and I've had more fun fishing because God does some real work. You know, I pray when I fish, because if you don't, it can become a long hour. I like fish now. And so Keith and myself, we went out fishing, and within, what was it, probably two and a half, I had caught five fish in the morning. We caught 11 more fish when we were out for three, four hours, hey, I tell you, God works in mysterious ways. even in that, and you know what? Then we cleaned the fish, and we had a whole bunch of fish to eat, and we enjoyed that completely. So you know what? This can be used in your everyday life. And if you want to change the thermostat, if it's too cold or too hot, you have the ability to change it. Yes. Amen? Yes. I'm bringing it up to 70 because you go into these cold places and into places that they might not be welcoming you, spiritually speaking, but you can change the temperature in there. Amen? And so I encourage all of us to do what we need to do. I know this much. God told us to go into all of the world and preach the gospel. And that might just mean the person next to you. It might mean your mom and dad. It might mean whatever. I mean, all my family, I sent letters and different things. I was given the letter ministry that a lot of people didn't like. You know, my life has changed. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and you can do the same thing. And how dare you? I said, I dared, because he gave me boldness. See, you remember? He said that if you do it, he'd give you boldness. So he gave me boldness. I'm going, where'd that come from? Well, that came from, you know, you remember the water that's covering the earth? Or the knowledge that's covering the earth, like the water, the sea? Wow, I'm blessed. Danny, are you blessed today?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what else are we going to do? Should we run around the building, or we could open a door? And we used to do that, but now we did get information. Come on up, sis. We did get information, and it's a little muddy out there. Thanks, David. I appreciate that information.
I knew there was something. I had such a funny experience this week. I said, when my husband was going off to work, I said, I just feel like something really, an unusual, funny blessing is going to happen today. Like, God's going to do something really unusual today. I'm going to expect a blessing that's really funny or unusual. So the day went, working day went, and at the end of the day, I had K-Love on. Anyone ever listen to K-Love? So I listened to K-Love, National Christian radio station. And so I was tuned on that, and they were talking, and they said, they were talking about teenagers driving, and they're going on that and having just different times. All of a sudden I remembered, oh my gosh, I need to call in because I taught my three boys as a single mom how to drive, and it was a very unusual, strategic, generational way. And it was my dad taught me, my dad learned, I learned, and I taught my sons to learn how to drive, get this, in a cemetery. So I taught all my boys to drive in cemeteries because the roads are narrow, they're very windy, and they can't kill anybody. And the boundaries are very much intimidating to stay within the boundaries. So it really worked, and they're excellent drivers. So I was on hold, and I was like, Lord, please let me get on, please, because if it's going to bless you, it's going to make me happy. It'll honor my dad, who's with the Lord, and it'll bless me, and it'll bless my sons. And sure enough, I got on, and they laughed their heads off.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd be pretty safe. I wiped out the Gundersons today. Hit most all three of their stones. I've always shared is, if you don't like the way I drive or my kids drive, stay off the sidewalks. That was funny, but that's not true. I didn't tell them that, or I would have had problems then. Well, God bless you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the joy. I mean, hey, we didn't come here to be all bound up and I went to church and I feel so bad now, I need to go home and eat. No, we come to have total victory, total plan and purposes of God, totally knowing that he's in control of everything. And if you dare to pray, don't worry, he'll dare to give you what you're praying for. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And we're not doubters, we're believers. And in believing, then things change. Everything changes. We're believers. And so I just really anoint the spirit of believing upon all of us in this next week, next time. God, that you would send people that need Jesus so much that we would, it would be a beating on our hearts that say, man, I got to share this situation here. And so, Father, I just bless the congregation here. Father, I know that you love them with a never-ending love. And God, in my heart, I love them because you're Father God to me and to them all. And so we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.